Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Frontier Beyond Fear. I'm your host, Susan Larison-Dance, and I do welcome callers to this new program. The call-in number is 1-310-807-5104, or you're welcome to join the online chat. To do that, you do need to be a Blog Talk Radio member, just a free user ID, and then you can go in the chat room. So I welcome you. Okay, we're having a technical issue here with the chat. I'm not sure if the chat is going to be up and running, but we'll hope for the best. I'll try to bring it up. Ideally, it's nice to have a producer assist you with a show like this, but I've chosen, at least for now, to just spontaneously host this show. And actually, I want to start a little bit on that point. This is about authenticity. My first show, I very spontaneously put on the air, which is basically just my thoughts on various things that I feel really do need to be said. And I think more of us need to have the courage to do this. I think that so often we are so concerned about, if you are a writer managing your persona online, somehow trying to present a certain image. And I'm not about that. I am about simply being authentically myself. And, you know, I'm learning as I go along. Sometimes when you're on a venue like this, you're going to say things that maybe don't come out quite the way you want them to come out. It is a learning experience, and you just need to trust, which is what I'm doing, that just authentically saying what you feel you want to say is the entire point, and not being concerned about how that's going to be perceived. This show is all about an honest expression of ideas. And as it gets off the ground, I do intend to invite other guests. Right now, it hasn't quite gotten to that point yet, but I am already inviting guests to come on this show where we can honestly discuss some things that quite honestly need to be discussed. So, anyway, I want to continue a conversation that began yesterday on 1 Corinthians 13. And when I talk about 1 Corinthians 13, I know that I'm talking to a rather broad audience. Some people may come from a very conservative perspective. Others may have very little familiarity with talking about passages in the Bible. And in doing so, I want to make it very clear that my perspective right now is I am no longer a biblical inerrantist, which means I don't feel that every word in the Bible needs to be taken as true. There are many people that I know who do feel that way, and I understand they have that perspective, but I come from a different point of view, even though there was a time when, yes, that was my perspective. I really was trying to believe that every word was 100% true. At this time, what I am trying to present here is simply the value of these words, and I'm also going to present a different perspective on these words from what some may call a New Age point of view. So, anyway, continuing on from yesterday, we're just going to revisit this chapter. The beginning of the chapter says that if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Well, that's really very clear that if our only reason for speaking is to cause disruption and to do it in such a way that there is no love, then there isn't much point. I mean, we certainly can do that if we want to be authentic. However, we're not really going to reach people if we do that. And something I want to make clear about why I'm here is I very much intend to have this show be grounded in love, which means that it is anchored in love. And even though many of us have experienced wounds along the way, which do sometimes present themselves in ways that are uncomfortable, as long as we trust that love is our anchor, we will always bring it to the proper place. And that's my intent with this show. And I would hope that everybody speaking about what they care about spiritually also keeps love in mind as their top priority. And I do believe people from many perspectives do this. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Again, love is the most important priority in everything that we do. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. So again, just a perspective on this, which I believe is commonly shared. The most important thing that we can do is keep love as our number one goal, our number one priority, our number one aim in life. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Okay. I'd like to talk about this from the perspective of someone who truly has come to believe in the unconditional love of our Creator. Often we hear so many things that create a persona of a Creator who is not patient, is not kind, is even jealous. And I know that those words are very much taken seriously by many people. However, those of us who have had doubts have had a lot of trouble reconciling that kind of anger with the type of unconditional love that is clearly described here. And so the question then becomes for any thoughtful, spiritual person who is trying to understand these words as well as the overall source in which it appears, the question becomes, how do I choose what to believe? Do I believe in the angry version of this Creator, or do I trust my conscience and believe in unconditional love, which is what this is talking about? And I will tell you that it has been, I had no choice throughout my life but to believe in unconditional love. And I feel that often we are told that we must believe something, and you either believe something or you don't. And pretending that you believe something is not true belief. And for me, no matter how hard I tried to believe in a version of God that could be angry, judgmental, who could essentially abandon us or do any number of horrible things and throw away the key, I could never reconcile it with this chapter in 1 Corinthians 13. And so what that presents to anyone who's examining these things is a choice as to what you choose to emphasize within your spiritual life. Continuing on in this chapter, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. I believe that love comes through as the truth, through multiple spiritual paths. And if there's anything that we share together, it's that. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Now, to me, this particular verse, for anyone who, like me, was once trying to reconcile the concept of hell, for example, the concept that some people would eventually be excluded from this love because of not believing the proper things or because they were deceived into believing things that were incorrect. This, to me, could never be considered compatible with love always protecting. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. There are no limitations on always. And that, to me, is of great importance. And I think that if we are struggling with what seem to be contradictory themes that are really calling to our conscience, calling to us to try to figure out just what is truth. Love speaks the loudest. The truth of love reaches out to us all. And there is no end to this love. It can't stop for anyone. Not if one is to value what this particular chapter has to say. And again, I value this chapter out of my own free choice. I am not bound to these words. I do not feel personally required that I must come up with some interpretation that makes sense. These words now speak to me. There may have been a time in the past where, yes, I felt that I had to come up with ways of explaining any number of words. But that's not where I am now. So I do want to be clear about that as I speak here. Continuing on in the chapter is really just the same theme. Love never fails. Let's just stop right there and examine that. Love never fails. There are so many people who I feel, if they're not concerned about their own state of belief, they're concerned about others. And they're very concerned, genuinely concerned, that loved ones are not on the path that they feel they need to be in for their eternal security. And, you know, I'm sure there are people who would say that about me and about any number of people that I know who have chosen a certain spiritual path. And, of course, there is concern about deception and such things. And what I want to say here is this verse says love never fails. So if you are a person who feels that these words need to be elevated as inerrant, if there's just no getting around the never in love never fails. Love can never fail for anyone. Love is eternal. Continuing on, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. Now here I want to talk a little bit about what it means to a person like me and any number of other people who truly believe that a new era is dawning upon this planet. This belief is actually shared among conservatives and non-conservatives alike. It's just that we view it in different ways. And, of course, some people think that era is only going to be limited to some. So the thing is, what does it mean to say that when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears? It simply means to me that we are growing into a state that is much more compatible with our true selves. And that's how we will be able to usher in this new era, by recognizing that the divine is within all of us. And that's the only way that you can approach the perfection that's discussed in this verse. Now, how people interpret what perfect means, to me, the divine is perfect love. which is unconditional love. And that's what we are approaching when we embrace the divine that is available to us all. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. This particular passage is very profound to those of us who truly have come to believe that there is a quantum leap for humanity that is about to take place and is indeed taking place. And what that is about is getting to know who we really are in this universe. Who are we? And just what is available to us. And again, I want to make one note here. I am talking to a very broad audience, and I'm aware of that. And so depending on your perspective, you know, one of the things I really aim to do with this program is try to explain to those who may be very judgmental or not even understand the New Age perspective, just how we do view things as New Agers, especially those of us who have actually come from evangelical backgrounds. And there are many of us on the New Age path, and we will be talking to others on this show who have made this journey. Why do we believe the way we believe? And even if you don't agree, at least, at the very least, my hope is that this show will help to facilitate understanding and dialogue. And by the way, on the note of dialogue, I do believe the chat room is down. I'm going to take just a second here to see if I can bring it up. And as with all new shows, new things, we need to establish new procedures here. Okay, all right. I just brought the chat room back up in case anyone does want to join the chat room. So that is now available if you are a Blog Talk Radio member. Also, once again, this doesn't need to be a monologue, nor will it be for long. But if anyone does want to call in and ask questions in a respectful way, such that we can have a dialogue, the number is 1-310-807-5104. And this show is scheduled for an hour, but I'm not necessarily going to go that entire time. It really depends on if there's any audience involvement. Since it's a new show, I'm fully aware that that takes time. And I even know, having been involved with other shows, that even with established shows, a lot of times I realize these shows are listened to in the archive. And so I am aware of that, and I'm not going to ramble on for the whole hour. So anyway, okay. I want to go back to this really important passage in 1 Corinthians 13 and how it can be mapped to what many of us have called humanity's expanded consciousness. Other people refer to it as the ascension of humanity. There are people from the so-called, quote, New Age perspective, and again, I'm using that term loosely because it has many connotations. There are people who fully see it as compatible with perhaps what they may have been taught in the past regarding a new heaven and a new earth. What this has to do with is that earth up until this time has been a place dominated by fear and the drive to survive, essentially. When we are struggling for survival, we are not aware of the greater reality around us, and we tend to view that greater reality in a fear-based way. And I believe the time is coming where humanity is finally maturing to the point where we can begin to fully know just who we are. And many of us do believe that who we are is inseparable from the greater reality of all that is, which you can call God, you can call the Creator, you can call the universe, you can call that whatever makes sense to you. But if the divine, if the Creator is omnipresent, that includes us. And becoming aware of that is not any kind of prideful thing. It is not any kind of challenge to some creator, as is often misconstrued. It is actually becoming exactly what you were always created to be. It is maturing. It is being that child of God and fully knowing that that's who you are, just as you were always intended. And I think one of the purposes of this particular show is to address some misconceptions that I often hear within communities who simply can't understand why people would embrace New Age philosophies. And often words are said that are very confusing depending on what your point of view is. New Agers, and again, I'm using that term very loosely, as someone who believes a new era, a quantum leap, an ascension, an expansion of consciousness is dawning on this planet. New Agers might even say things like, I am God. I tend not to say that just because it's so misconstrued as to what that means. If I were to say that, I would say, we are all that is. I mean, we are. And even using the term God has all kinds of connotations because everyone has their own definition as to what that means. And you can use that if you're comfortable with it. But the real point of all of this is it's about all of us together. It's not about any one of us being above anybody else. In fact, if anything, it's truly a humbling philosophy to know that you are a part of this greater reality and trying to know what that means and what that's going to mean going forward. This, to me, is what this passage is speaking about, is that we are ready as the human race to put our childish ways behind us. And those childish ways are very based in fear, misunderstanding, judgment of one another, not at all a sense of unity consciousness. The reality that we are moving into is one of oneness with our Creator and with one another. Because once you know that we are all together and we are all one, the greatest statement that you can make is simply, we are, and understand what that means. And yes, each and every one of us has a special part in that greater reality. Another misconception that I often hear is that somehow, once you realize that you're a part of this greater reality, that you're going to lose sight of who you are completely. And although people certainly do have very profound, what they may call a one with the universe experience, where you do embrace that whole, it is my perspective that you exist as you for a very good reason, and that you are a unique creation experiencing this wondrous thing, and it's why you're here. If we weren't supposed to be who we are, these special beings, each and every one of us, we wouldn't be here at all. We would just be a great big ocean where you couldn't even see the drops. And the point of the matter is that we can both perceive our oneness with the greater reality and perceive what our own unique contribution is within that. And I think that is often a huge misconception that I've heard. Another one that I wanted to talk about, since there are no calls, I'll just keep talking for a little while, but I probably won't go the whole time, is can, and this again comes from those who come from a conservative evangelical perspective, which is where I originated. And I want to point something out. It wasn't just my childhood. In my last show, I want to make it very, very clear that these perspectives were doctrinal things. They were nothing specific to, you know, my family per se, although my family certainly believed these things. These were doctrinal things that I learned in several churches. I actually was fortunate to be exposed to a few different flavors of evangelical Christianity, which is helping me a lot in understanding how those different denominations interact and what it means in the greater reality of all sorts of different spiritual ways of thought. So what I want to say here is that there's often a misconception that someone with a more New Age point of view, again, using that term very loosely, doesn't believe in any kind of personal relationship with the Creator. And if I could correct any misconception in this program, that is one I would really like to emphasize, because although, yes, there are people who truly do believe that whatever's out there is just this force, very impersonal, what I'm seeing in New Age circles, and certainly many of us can attest to, is an emphasis on love and indeed a very personal relationship. And I have to personally attest to saying that I never really experienced such a personal relationship with the love of our Creator until I began to embrace some broader kinds of spirituality. And so I hope that especially can be put to rest. Now, one could really examine, why is this? Why is this particular point of view growing? You know, I've theorized that part of it is there actually are many people who've come from Christian backgrounds who are now embracing this form of spirituality, and we are very open to that kind of relationship. And I think, you know, that it's not restricted to us, but certainly that would be something that we would be searching for in our spiritual life. We would not, I personally am not interested, nor does it resonate with me, to embrace a philosophy that is neutral and just some force and, you know, not really love having much of anything to do with it. And there are things that I'll say that may even be quite unique from what many think is a New Age perspective, including how a number of us are questioning the law of attraction and the way that it is often presented as very devoid of love and even emphasizing fear. And so that's a concern I have, and that's not something that resonates with me, even though I do believe in the power of positive co-creation with the love that is out there. I do think that's a very real phenomenon, and it's all part of knowing who you are. And, you know, here I may address a different part of the audience and say that I think there's a little bit, well, not just a little, there is too much emphasis out there on the negative law of attraction. I truly do feel that it's frightening people. And I've known a number of people who have been very frightened by it, where every single moment of the day they feel they need to watch their thoughts, and they're warned about this often. And my feeling on this is, first of all, I personally am not a believer in that, and I'll be very clear about that. And second, I think that even if you do believe in that, emphasizing that is not healthy or helpful. Because if you believe that negativity is going to have a negative impact in a very powerful, even supernatural way, why would you want to emphasize that? It's much better to just focus on the positive. My own personal experience has been that negativity is more of a distraction from the positive. I don't choose to give it any magical power. And in that respect, I know that I do deviate from a number of people who may share my philosophy in general about a new era dawning on the planet. And I hope that we can all agree to have dialogues on that as well, and see that there are unique perspectives. Okay, I am going to check the chat room here. We're at about 30 minutes, and I think without having a guest, I think that we're going to probably draw this show to a close. And so, yes, I feel that I'm very happy that I was able to share this with you today. This is just me having a chat with you. That is the intent behind the show. I'm not intending to make this some polished piece of written material that I read off to everyone. This is just an authentic time to talk with you about my path and what I've chosen to believe. And then over time, I hope to involve more of you as well as guests. So thank you so much for being a part of this episode of The Frontier Beyond Fear. Check the schedule as to when the next show will appear, since I really do view this in a very informal way right now. I'm not sure when the next one could be scheduled. It really depends on if I do have a guest or if I feel that something more needs to be expressed. So again, thank you so much for being here, and let's hope that we can create a space of dialogue, of mutual understanding, and it doesn't even have to mean agreement, just a place where we can safely talk about what we genuinely feel. Thank you again, and remember, you are unconditionally loved. I just have to remind everyone of that every day, and let me sum this up. Actually, I forgot a very important verse, and there's no better way to sum it up with saying the very last verse in 1 Corinthians 13. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Let's not forget love today. Have a great day.